crisis on the phone last night. The MLA is likely to be back at Stormont today as the preparations begin for the election. Let me speak to Ken Reid, our political editor, about all of this. Ken, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Ken, they're back today. Unlikely Sinn Féin will be about today, however.
No, Sinn Féin will definitely not be there. They walked out last night after they withdrew their motion of no confidence in the Speaker. And they say they'll keep an eye on things, but they have no intention of coming back. To all intents and purposes, this Assembly is actually over, but they'll go through the last wee bits of business, but they'll have absolutely no effect.
The division between the DUP and Sinn Féin, it's a reminder of years gone by.
Yeah, it is to a degree, but if you've cast your mind back to last May and the election, what was remarkable about that contest was the fact that the DUP and Sinn Féin didn't lay a glove on each other, because after that election it was quite clear that the two parties were going into government together. So it's right to say, I think, that the clock has been put back a fair bit. There was great hopes last May that really we were into settled government for 5 years. That hasn't happened. My opinion, the thing that changed the whole political circumstance was Brexit. And there's the irony today where we're going to have Theresa May making this huge speech on what Brexit actually means for the United Kingdom. Because I think that the political landscape in Ireland changed that day. And there was also, they tried to patch it up, but the difference between the position of the DUP, who of course supported Brexit, and Sinn Féin, who felt the opposite view very strongly, they've never really been managed to put that together. And then one thing led to another, all sorts of incidents, and then with the heating incentive scheme coming into it, I suppose it reached a tipping point. And I know that the Prime Minister and the Taoiseach are appealing for people to be calm and make it civilised. I think that's wishful thinking.
Yeah, how lacking in respect might the countdown to March the 2nd be?
Well, as I say in May, it wasn't an orange and green election. It was more to do with issues like health and education. This, in my estimation, will be more an orange and green election. I suppose you could argue the one difference compared to the past is that you have an opposition in the SDLP and the Ulster Unionists, although I think it caught them sort of on the hop that they're developing opposition still at a fairly early stage. And, you know, on our programme last night when we were putting to particularly the Ulster Unionists, I felt, you know, are you going to work together? Well, up to a degree. And I would imagine that the DUP will be hammering the Ulster Unionists in the election campaign as well, using Sinn Féin as the bogeyman, as it were. And then on the other side, the SDLP and Sinn Féin battle will be equally vicious, I would imagine. And in all of this, somewhere in the middle will be this sectarian undertone. And I think the problem is trying to keep a lid on it, because no matter what, and here's the important thing about all this, after March the 2nd, probably the following Monday, the Assembly will come back, certainly that week, the Assembly will come back, and they have about 3 weeks to get together, get their act together and try and elect the First and Deputy First Minister. I think the chances of that are remote. And people were asking me yesterday, you know, what's this election to? Well, in my opinion, it's an election to negotiations rather than to Assembly. And then the big question is, how long will these negotiations last? What will the Secretary of State do? He has the power to call a second election. Or will he take the road of going down the restoration of direct rule, which I think would be particularly unacceptable to both Sinn Féin and the SDLP. Really, a lot of pressure is going to be placed on the Secretary of State, who, by the way, makes an important statement in the House of Commons later today.
Okay, Ken, thank you very much indeed. I want to speak to Brian Rowan about this as well. Brian, good morning.
Hiya, Frank. Good morning.
Brian, listening to everything that Ken is saying there, and indeed that point about what's it an election to? Is it an election to negotiations, or indeed an election to the Assembly?
I think the first stop will be negotiations. For all of the drama of yesterday, Frank, the steps that were taken had been well signalled and were entirely predictable. We knew that Sinn Féin was not going to re-nominate for the position of Deputy First Minister, and we knew that the Secretary of State, James Brokenshire, would have to set a date for an election. That date, as you've mentioned and Ken mentioned, March the 2nd. But it's the next steps that are not certain, much less predictable, and that are causing some considerable concern. What will be the tone of the election campaign? You've just discussed that with Ken. James Brokenshire saying yesterday, just a line in his statement, Frank, I would strongly encourage the political parties to conduct this election with a view to the future of Northern Ireland and to re-establishing partnership government at the earliest opportunity after the poll. That message being re-emphasised by Theresa May and Enda Kenny. The fear, I think, Frank, is how much more damage will be done to an already broken relationship. Then after the poll, when the votes are counted, how do you build from that brokenness? Conor Murphy in the Great Hall yesterday talking about institutions that have zero credibility. A Republican who I bumped into at Stormont yesterday describing the need for qualitative change. We've heard this line being used, no return to the status quo. So all of this talk now, Frank, about the need for a new agreement and a new agreement which is around the implementation of old agreements. So all of that suggests a lengthy negotiation on the far side of an election.
Brian, just stay with me because I want to speak to one of the people who's certainly going to be involved, Philip Smith from the UUP. Philip Smith, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
What are you standing for? Are you standing to get elected for negotiations or are you standing to get elected to an assembly?
We're standing to go into government. I think that the election was not what people wanted. What they wanted was good, competent, scandal-free government. But both the DUP and Sinn Féin weren't able to deliver. I think yesterday showed the DUP Sinn Féin government at its worst. We had dysfunction and incompetence and scandal all on display. And most seriously, it highlighted how this self-inflicted crisis will now impact on the lives of everyone because we've no budget. And that's going to lead to massive uncertainty and instability across our public services. We also saw from the Health Minister how our hospitals are going to be hit. We have record waiting lists. 250,000 people will now be hit further by this DUP and Sinn Féin dysfunction and incompetence. So we're giving people a choice. Do you want to vote for change or do you want more of the same? And that's a decision that people will have to make to come out. And it's not an ideal time of the year. Nights are still dark. The weather's not great. But we urge people to come out and to vote for change that they want to see because people are telling me on the doorsteps, out in the streets and shops, that they're disgusted at what has happened around the RHI scandal and the lack of effective government for this country. And if they want to see change, they're going to have to vote for it.
Yes, it's everyone standing will want to be in government. The chances of the Ulster Unionists being a particularly big player after the election, going by recent evidence, the chances aren't very good. So you will be looking at it in the round and you'll be considering the possibility that you won't be part of a government, but you could be looking at a long period where we can't form an executive and therefore the Assembly isn't up and running. So are you supporting the SDLP in relation to not just the British government running this part of the world, but the Irish government running it?
Well, you talk about unforeseen circumstances. If the punters had been right and the pollsters, we'd now have a President Clinton and we'd be firmly within the European Union. So we can see how wrong looking in the rearview mirror can be about the future. We saw a lot of change in 2016 across the world and I hope that Northern Ireland will see change in 2017.
Yes, but very recently on this programme, people from the Ulster Unionist Party and people from the SDLP were almost backing each other. And there's certainly a suggestion, and you are the opposition, there's certainly a suggestion that we're not going to have an executive formed after the next election. So where does the UUP stand in relation to the involvement of the Republic of Ireland's government?
Well, we're very clear. I mean, this is even going back to the Belfast Agreement, this is a Strand 3 issue. If there can be no agreement between the parties, and I sincerely hope that is not the case, that there is no ability to put together an executive, then we will undoubtedly move back to a period of direct rule. And that is the only option. And that's why it's highly ironic that Sinn Féin have pulled this down now in frustration at their partners in government and the DUP. But the only alternative to an executive at Stormont is direct rule from London.
And do you feel, as you start, and you've all started electioneering, do you feel there's an interest? Is there an interest from the public? By the 2nd of March, are they going to be getting, I suppose, an eagerness in their mindset where they go to a polling station? Or is there frustration with the capital F?
I think there is, because frustration with the capital F, and I think anybody watching the nonsense yesterday at Stormont couldn't but not be frustrated, and that is certainly the challenge that we have to get out on the doorsteps and actually say to people, you know, if you are angry, if you are frustrated by this debacle, to use Arlene Foster's words, then you need to come out and channel that anger and actually be constructive and vote for change. If you want change, you've got to go out and play your role, your part, and actually delivering it. And that's what I would say to people.
OK, Philip Smith from the UUP, thank you. I'll speak to John O'Dowd from Sinn Féin. John O'Dowd, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Now, there's a lot of criticism, and most of that criticism is being aimed at the people who have been in government. And as I use that term again, the frustration with the capital F. The public are so unhappy.
Well, the public now have an opportunity, and I think this is why it's so important an election was called, because since before Christmas, when the RHI scandal became public, it has been quite clear there's significant public concern about how this has been handled. The loss of £400 million, the failure of politicians, in this case the DUP, to take responsibility, the failure of the then First Minister, Arlene Foster, to step aside and acknowledge that there was huge public concern. So Sinn Féin have taken the Assembly down, and we've taken the Assembly down for those reasons, and we've said to the people now, it's over to you. Now, how will the election end up? I don't know. How will people vote? I don't know. But it is now in the hands of the electorate.
But are you standing to be elected to an Assembly or to be elected as a negotiator?
I'm standing to be elected to an Assembly which is working on the basis of the Good Friday Agreement and the agreements which were signed up over the last 10 years.
But if you and the DUP both get back in, how can that Assembly get on its feet?
Well, if it's ourselves and the DUP are the two largest parties, and all the parties at the end of the day will be involved in some form of negotiation, if ourselves and the DUP are the two largest parties, then there'll have to be negotiations and discussions between ourselves and the British and Irish governments, who also have a responsibility under the terms of the Good Friday Agreement to ensure that the Good Friday Agreement works. But we cannot and we will not stand by while there is allegations of financial corruption, while there is political corruption at the heart of government. There is no institution, government or executive, in the Western world which would survive what has been going on over this last 68 weeks. And certainly the pressure and tensions that was building up in the executive over this last period of time at the failure to implement agreements would lead to the collapse of any government. The government has collapsed. What you do when a government collapses, you hand it over to the people.
Yes, but you go to the people and you get the same parties back in and you have to negotiate and you don't get anywhere and you're in a situation where Edwin Poots said last night on the lawn at Stormont to Vicky Hawthorne that what Sinn Féin have done is actually voted for Brit rule.
Well, we can ignore the will of the people at our peril. We signed up and the Good Friday Agreement and the institutions were about all the parties and the government signing up to democratic pathways. When government institutions collapse, you go to the people. The people will decide at the end of the day who will be the largest parties at the end of this election. I have never taken the electorate for granted. No one has a vote today. We will see who has votes on the 3rd and 4th of March after the election has taken place. Then there will have to be decisions made. There will have to be negotiations take place. But all I can say to the voters is at this stage is we will not be returning to a format which we have seen over this last 6 weeks or what we have seen over this last number of years. We have tried and tried again. Martin McGuinness has been very, very patient. Some would maybe accuse him of being too patient over his handling of the DUP at times. But he has stretched himself. Sinn Féin have stretched themselves. But enough is enough.
But by bringing down the executive, you do run the risk of a protracted period of time where there'll be direct rule.
Well, why should there be direct route? And this is interesting because I noticed you tried to drag out of Philip Smith there. What do you support his opposition party colleagues in calling for joint authority? They will not support that. The Irish government have to play a role in the governance of this part of the world. Now, they have that role under the Good Friday Agreement. They failed miserably at times to carry out that role. But we are not as British as Finchley. Those days are over. We are not a simple offshot of Britain. And what is amazing about this, too, is despite us being told that the British government had the concerns of the people of this part of the island around Brexit at the heart of the negotiations, that there would be no return to hard border, Theresa May is making an announcement today which will most likely lead to hard border on the island of Ireland without any reference to the executive when it was working, or certainly without any reference to the politicians opting the executive. So this part of the world has changed entirely. There is democratic ways to resolve our issues. There is democratic pathways to resolve our issues. There's going to be difficulties within that, but there is absolutely no reason why we should be returning to a direct route.
Okay, John O'Dowd, thank you very much indeed. And Peter Weir is obviously a member of the DUP. Peter Weir, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Now, we have, as I said, to the other politicians that I've spoken to this morning, an air of frustration from the electorate. They could lose total faith in the majority of you between now and March the 2nd.
Well, I share that frustration because what we're seeing, actually, we're seeing an election which I don't think the vast bulk of people out there in the electorate want. What they want to do is to see us getting on with the key issues around health, education, around the economy and jobs. And we've seen actually Sinn Féin collapse the executive and collapse the assembly on the basis of none of those issues, but actually a Republican wish list. And actually government should be continuing on. Government should actually be delivering on those. This is not, from that point of view, it's an election of the choice of one party.
Yes, but we could go round in circles on that, Peter Weir, because we've been doing that for the past 3 weeks or a couple of weeks anyway, because your leader could have stood down and avoided this. So we're just going round and round and round in circles with regards to why we're in the debacle that we are.
Well, sorry, with respect on it, it is one party that has brought this about in terms of an election happening. They are the people that have resigned. You know, I'm going in today to deal with a range of issues on education. Those are things that are important to people. Health is important to people. Jobs in the economy are important to people. But yes, we are.
But do you not realise it doesn't come across like that to the electorate, that the economy is important, that teachers are important, that the health service is important? It comes across that the colour of a flag or the status of the country is important, much more important than any of the bread and butter issues.
Well, I can appreciate that people have a level of frustration in that regard. What I'm saying is I share that frustration. I think we share that frustration, and we want to actually get on with the delivery of good government on this issue. We're trying to tackle the issues, but it is clear that there is an internal problem within Sinn Féin, a wide range of issues which have actually been kicking about for a number of years, which weren't pressed in the programme for government, which weren't suggested to be in the programme for government, have suddenly become the key issues for Sinn Féin, and there's clearly internal dynamics there. Now, we will face up to an election, but I think one of the frustrating things is that being able to deal with a range of those issues, at the very least, is put off. And it seems very likely that we will go into a period of negotiations, given the attitude that the Sinn Féin have. That will mean, almost certainly, at least a period of direct rule. And I think that there are some people, particularly within Sinn Féin, who seem to be closing their eyes to that and seem to be somewhat blind to that particular prospect. They seem to be living in a certain level of fantasy land.
So you're very much standing to be elected to be a negotiator as opposed to a minister.
Let's be honest on it. I want, and indeed I believe, that we can have a situation where we can have government in Northern Ireland. I don't believe actually we should be interrupting government as is. But the point is, given that Sinn Féin are clearly not going to sign up to a government post an election, we are going to be into a period clearly of protracted negotiations. That's the reality. It's not where I would want to be, but I think it's if we're facing up to reality, where we are likely to be. So I think, you know, people need to bear that in mind, I suppose, whenever we're looking at discussions and looking indeed at the elections ahead.
How worried are you that the electorate might decide that Mike Nesbitt and the Ulster Unionist Party would be better unionist negotiators than the DUP?
Well, with respect on it, we will put our message to the people. You know, the notion that there's alternative governments out there seems to be somewhat fanciful, because realistically, from a unionist perspective, Sinn Féin are will be the largest party. We're going to have to deal with that. And I think the question mark is given sort of track record of people. I suppose if we're into negotiations, who do they believe will represent unionism better? Will it be the DUP or will it be the Ulster Unionist Party? But, you know, we'll face up to those. We won't actually deliver for people on that sort of things, but it will not be on the basis. I mean, Sinn Féin, for instance, want changes to legacy, for instance, which I think in many ways would scapegoat our soldiers and police officers in a very one-sided process. You know, there's a long Republican wish list which has now been trotted out. I think that's more to do with the internal dynamics of Sinn Féin. I think that the whole of the community is suffering as a result of that.
You not reckon it's going to be better between the DUP and the UUP?
Well, you know, there is always, I think with any election, it always raises a degree of tension. So I think we will try and be, you know, we will try and put across our message and put that forward. We're not, from that point of view, seeking wars with the Ulster Unionist Party, but that's a question ultimately they have. And I think they have actually at times over the last period of time had a level of political opportunism. I think actually some of their calls have in many ways gone along the same lines as Sinn Féin, particularly as regards the First Minister, and played into their hands. Strategically, I don't think that has been helpful to unionism. I think that some of the things that Mike Nesbitt and the Ulster Unionist Party have said have gone over the top. You know, but let's keep on the focus of actually trying to deliver for all the people of Northern Ireland.
And that's what the people would certainly love from all the politicians that they elect, delivering on behalf of the electorate. And going by what we saw yesterday and over the last number of days, that's why they are frustrated. Peter Weir, thanks for speaking to us this morning.
Thank you.
I want to go back to Brian.
Yeah, and you heard Peter Weir say a moment ago describing the likelihood of a protracted period of negotiation and a period of direct rule. We know that this new agreement that has been talked about in recent days, Frank, is about the implementation of old agreements on difficult, if not impossible, issues. Peter Weir mentioned one of them, legacy. There's the Irish Language Act, the Maes Long Cash Project, and for unionists, the way that the institutions function. So there will be another debate about mandatory coalition versus voluntary coalition. More discussion, I imagine, about flags and marching. The more that one side puts on the table, another party will put its issues on the table. And we know what the arguments are going to be around the legacy process, that unionist belief that Republicans are trying to rewrite history, more fallout about who can be investigated and who should not be investigated. And I still think on that issue of legacy, Frank, which has been an impossible issue for the best period of a decade, the Eames-Bradley consultation began in 2007. We're now in 2017. I still think on that issue that the discussion will need international help, someone to help find the way through that wall that is blocking the legacy structure being set up. So this is going to be a negotiation between parties and governments. And no one who I'm speaking to, and I think Ken touched on this a little bit earlier in the program, no one is suggesting that there is a short-term fix here. It is more a long-term task.
It sounds incredibly depressing, and we do run the risk of the most important people in this, the electorate, losing interest.
And that is a very clear issue, Frank. I think this time what they will see as being different is whatever difficulty this process has been in the past, there has been a way out, some way of managing a way forward. I think we're beyond all of that now. I think what people are talking about at a political level is certainty in relation to the next steps. And this process and this place doesn't do certainty very well. So they're seeing a government collapse. They're looking to the far side of the election with no sense that an executive can be quickly re-established. And they are looking at a period of a protracted period of negotiation, with all of these impossible issues on the table, not a rerun of the Good Friday Agreement negotiation, but a negotiation this time which is about implementing the principles of the Good Friday Agreement in terms of partnership and power sharing, and addressing all of those other issues that keep pulling us back into the past, including that very difficult issue of legacy.
Brian, always good to speak to you. Thanks for coming on. Thank you.